Welcome to the Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Monday, July 18th, National Sour Candy Day. National Sour Candy Day is a day dedicated to sour candy. Sour candy can be traced back to the 1950s and 1960s. Sour Patch Kids were first introduced in the late 1970s in Ontario, Canada, making their way to the US in the mid-1980s. American Licorice Company is the maker of a line of popular sour candies, such as Sour Punch, Sour Straws, and more. You may or may not like sour candy, but have you ever wondered about the history of candy? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to the Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. Candy, also called sweets, British English, or lollies, Australian English, New Zealand English, is a confection that features sugar as a principal ingredient. The sugar confectionery category encompasses any sweet confection, including chocolate, chewing gum, and sugar candy. Vegetables, fruit, or nuts that have been glazed and coated with sugar are said to be candied. Physically, candy is characterized by using a significant amount of sugar or sugar substitutes. Unlike a cake or loaf of bread shared among many people, candies are usually made in smaller pieces. However, the definition of candy also depends upon how people treat the food. Unlike sweet pastries served for a dessert course at the end of a meal, candies are typically eaten casually, often with the fingers, as a snack between meals. Each culture has its ideas of what constitutes candy rather than dessert. The same food may be a candy in one culture and a dessert in another. The word candy entered the English language from the old French sucre candy, sugar candy. The French term probably has earlier roots in the Arabic candy, Persian cand, and Sanskrit kanda, all words for sugar. Sugarcane is indigenous to tropical South and Southeast Asia. Pieces of sugar were produced by boiling sugarcane juice in ancient India and consumed as kanda. Between the 6th and 4th centuries BCE, the Persians, followed by the Greeks, discovered the people in India and their reeds that produce honey without bees. They adopted and then spread sugar and sugarcane agriculture. Before sugar was readily available, candy was based on honey. Honey was used in ancient China, the Middle East, Egypt, Greece, and the Roman Empire to coat fruits and flowers to preserve them or to create forms of candy. Candy is still served in this form today, though now it is more typically seen as a type of garnish. Before the Industrial Revolution, candy was often considered a medicine used to calm the digestive system or cool a sore throat. In the Middle Ages, candy appeared on the tables of only the most wealthy at first. At that time, it began as a combination of spices and sugar to aid digestion. Banquet hosts typically served these types of candies at banquets for their guests. One of these candies, called chamber spice, was made with cloves, ginger, aniseed, juniper berries, almonds, and pine kernels dipped in melted sugar. The Middle English word candy began to be used in the late 13th century. The first candy came to America in Britain and France in the early 18th century. Only a few early colonists were proficient in sugar work, and sugary treats were generally only enjoyed by the very wealthy. Even the simplest form of candy, rock candy, made from crystallized sugar, was considered a luxury. The candy business drastically changed in the 1830s when technological advances and sugar availability opened up the market. The new market was not only for the enjoyment of the rich but also for the pleasure of the working class. There was also an increasing market for children. While some fine confectioners remained, the candy store became a staple for the child of the American working class. Penny candies epitomized this transformation of candy. Penny candy became the first material good that children spent their money on. For this reason, candy store owners relied almost entirely on children's businesses to keep them running. Even penny candies were directly descended from medicated lozenges that held bitter medicine in a hard sugar coating. In 1847, the invention of the candy press, also known under the surprising name of the toy machine, made it possible to produce multiple shapes and sizes of candy at once. In 1851, confectioners began to use a revolving steam pan to assist in boiling sugar. This transformation meant that the candy maker was no longer required to stir the boiling sugar continuously. The heat from the pan's surface was also much more evenly distributed and made it less likely the sugar would burn. These innovations enabled only one or two people to run a candy business successfully. As the path from producer to market became increasingly complicated, many foods were affected by adulteration and the addition of additives which ranged from relatively harmless ingredients, such as cheap cornstarch and corn syrup, to poisonous ones. Some manufacturers produced bright colors in candy by the addition of hazardous substances for which there was no legal regulation: green, chromium oxide and copper acetate; red, lead oxide and mercury sulfide; yellow, lead chromate; and white, chalk, arsenic trioxide. In an 1885 cover cartoon for Puck, Joseph Kepler satirized the dangers of additives in candy by depicting the mutual friendship between striped candy, doctors, and gravediggers. By 1906, research into the dangers of additives, exposés of the food industry, and public pressure led to the passage of the Pure Food and Drug Act, the first federal United States law to regulate food and drugs, including candy. Sugar candies include hard candies, soft candies, caramels, marshmallows, taffy, and other candies whose principal ingredient is sugar. Commercially, sugar candies are often divided into groups according to the amount of sugar they contain and their chemical structure. Hard-boiled candies made by vacuum cooking include stick candy, lemon drops, and hoarhound drops. Open-fire candy, like molasses taffy and cream taffy, is cooked in open kettles and then pulled. Panwork candies include nuts and other candies like jelly beans and sugar-coated almonds, made by coating with sugar in revolving copper kettles. Gumwork candy is cooked in large kettles fashioned for melting and molded, dried, and sugared like gum drops. They are soaked for a time in sugar syrup to allow crystals to form. Chocolate is sometimes treated as a separate branch of confectionery. In this model, chocolate candies like chocolate candy bars and chocolate truffles are included. Hot chocolate or other cocoa-based drinks are excluded, as is candy made from white chocolate. However, when chocolate is treated as a separate branch, it also includes confections whose classification is otherwise difficult, being neither exactly candies nor exactly baked goods, like chocolate-dipped foods, tarts with chocolate shells, and chocolate-coated cookies. Sugar candies can be classified into non-crystalline and crystalline types. Non-crystalline candies are homogeneous and may be chewy or hard. They include hard candies, caramels, toffees, and nuggets. Crystalline candies incorporate small crystals in their structure and are creamy that melt in the mouth or are easily chewed. They include fondant and fudge. Sugar candy is made by dissolving sugar in water or milk to form a syrup, which is boiled until it reaches the desired concentration or starts to agar. Candy comes in various textures, from soft and chewy to hard and brittle. The texture of candy depends on the ingredients and the temperatures at which the candy is processed. The final texture of sugar candy depends primarily on the concentration of sugar. As the syrup is heated, it boils, water evaporates, the sugar concentration increases, and the boiling point rises. A given temperature corresponds to a particular sugar concentration. These are called sugar stages. Higher temperatures and greater sugar concentrations result in hard, brittle candies, and lower temperatures result in softer candies. Once the syrup reaches 171 degrees Celsius, 340 degrees Fahrenheit, or higher, the sucrose molecules break down into many simpler sugars, creating an amber-colored substance known as caramel. This should not be confused with caramel candy, although it is its main flavoring. Most candies are made commercially. The industry relies significantly on trade secret protection because candy recipes cannot be copyrighted or patented effectively but are very difficult to duplicate. Seemingly minor differences in the machinery, temperature, or timing of the candy making process can cause noticeable differences in the final product. Candy wrapper or sweets wrapper is a common term for this packaging. Packaging preserves aroma and flavor and eases shipping and dispensation. Wax paper seals against air, moisture, dust, and germs, while cellophane is valued by packagers for its transparency and resistance to grease, odors, and moisture. In addition, it is often resealable. Polyethylene is another form of film sealed with heat, and this material is often used to make bags in bulk packaging. Plastic wraps are also common. Aluminium foils wrap chocolate bars and prevent water vapor transfer while being lightweight, non-toxic, and odor-proof. Vegetable parchment lines boxes of high-quality confections like gourmet chocolates. Cardboard cartons are less common, though they offer many options concerning thickness and movement of water and oil. Packages are often sealed with a starch-based adhesive derived from tapioca, potato, wheat, sago, or sweet potato. Occasionally, glues are made from the bones and skin of cattle and hogs for a stronger and more flexible product, but this is not as common because of the expense. Before the 1900s, candy was commonly sold unwrapped from carts in the street, where it was exposed to dirt and insects. By 1914, there were some machines to wrap gum and stick candies, but this was not the common practice. After the polio outbreak in 1916, unwrapped candies garnered widespread censure because of the dirt and germs. At the time, only upscale candy stores used glass jars. With technological advancements, wax paper was adopted, and DuPont imported foil and cellophane to the US from France in 1925. Necco packagers were one of the first companies to package without human touch. Kiosks and vending machines were introduced around the beginning of the 20th century. Candy packaging played a role in its adoption as the most popular treat given away during trick-or-treating for Halloween in the US in the 1940s. Most treats were homemade. In the 1950s, small, individually wrapped candies were considered convenient and inexpensive. By the 1970s, after widely publicized but largely false stories of poisoned candy myths circulating in the popular press, factory-sealed packaging with a recognizable name brand became a sign of safety. Packaging helps market the product as well. Manufacturers know that candy must be hygienic and attractive to customers. In the children's market, quantity, novelty, large size, and bright colors are the top sellers. Many companies redesign the packaging to maintain consumer appeal. When we return, candy shelf live. We'll be right back. Because of its high sugar concentration, bacteria are not usually able to grow in candy. As a result, the shelf life is longer for candy than for many other foods. Most candies can be safely stored in their original packaging at room temperature in a dry, dark cupboard for months or years. The softer the candy or the storage area's damper, the sooner it goes stale. Shelf life considerations with most candies are focused on appearance, taste, and texture rather than on the potential for food poisoning. That is, old candy may not look appealing or taste very good, even though it is very unlikely to make the eater sick. Candy can be made unsafe by storing it badly, such as in a wet, moldy area. Typical recommendations are these. Hard candy may last indefinitely in good storage conditions. Dark chocolate lasts up to 2 years. Milk chocolates and caramels usually become stale after about 1 year. Soft or creamy candies, like candy corn, may last 8 to 10 months in ideal conditions. Chewing gum and gumballs may stay fresh for as long as 8 months after manufacture. Most sugar candies are defined in US law as food of minimal nutritional value. Even in a culture that eats sweets frequently, candy is not a significant source of nutrition or food energy for most people. The average American eats about 1.1 kilograms, 2.5 pounds, of sugar or similar sweeteners each week. Almost 95% of that sugar, all but about 70 grams, 2.5 ounces, comes from non-candy sources, especially soft drinks and processed foods. Candy is considered a source of empty calories because it provides little or no nutritional value beyond food energy. At the start of the 20th century, when undernutrition was a serious problem, especially among poor and working class people, and nutrition science was a new field, high calorie content was promoted as a virtue. Researchers suggested that candy was a low-cost alternative to normal meals, especially candy made with milk and nuts. To get the food energy necessary for a day of labor, candy might cost half as much as eggs. During the 1920s and 1930s, candy bars selling for 5 cents were often marketed as replacements for lunch. At the 1904 World Fair, the Quaker Oats Company made a candy-coated puffed cereal, a wheat-based product similar to Cracker Jack's candy-coated popcorn. The product concept was reintroduced unsuccessfully in 1939 by another business, Ranger Joe, the first pre-sweetened, candy-coated breakfast cereal. Post Foods introduced their version in 1948, originally called Happy Jacks and later Sugar Crisp. They marketed it as a replacement for unsweetened breakfast cereals and eating as a snack or as candy, using three animated cartoon bears as the mascots, Candy, Handy, and Dandy. The early slogans said, as a cereal, it's dandy, for snacks it's so handy, or eat it like candy. In more recent times, a variety of snack bars have been marketed. These include bars intended as meal replacements and snack bars that are marketed as having nutritional advantages compared to candy bars, such as granola bars. However, the nutritional value is often not very different from candy bars, except for higher sodium content. The flavors most popularly, chocolate, fudge, and caramel, and the presentation mimic candy bars. Among the Bengali people, candy may be eaten for an entire meal, especially during festivals. Candy may also be offered to vegetarian guests instead of fish or meat dishes in India. Most candy contains no meat or other animal parts, and many contain no milk or other animal products. Some candy, including marshmallows and gummy bears, contains gelatin derived from animal collagen, a protein found in skin and bones, and is thus avoided by vegans and some vegetarians. Kosher gelatin is also unsuitable for vegetarians and vegans, as it is derived from fish bones. Other substances, such as agar, pectin, starch, and gum arabic, may also be used as setting and gelling agents and can be used in place of gelatin. Other ingredients commonly found in candy unsuitable for vegetarian or vegan diets include carmine, a red dye made from cochineal beetles, and confectioner's glaze, which contains shellac, a resin excreted by female lac bugs. Candy generally contains sugar, a key environmental factor in forming dental caries, cavities. Several bacteria commonly found in the mouth consume sugar, particularly Streptococcus mutans. When these bacteria metabolize the sugar found in most candies, juice, or other sugary foods, they produce acids in the mouth that demineralize the tooth enamel and can lead to dental caries. Heavy or frequent high sugar foods, especially lollipops, sugary cough drops, and other sugar-based candies that stay in the mouth for a long time increase the risk of tooth decay. Candies containing enamel-dissolving acids, such as acid drops, increase the risk. Cleaning the teeth and mouth shortly after eating any sugary food and allowing several hours to pass between eating such foods reduces the risk and improves oral health. However, frequent consumption of fruits and juice, which contain both acid and sugars, may be a more significant factor in dental decay than candies. Most candy, particularly low-fat and fat-free candy, has a high glycemic index, GI, which causes a rapid rise in blood sugar levels after ingestion. This is chiefly a concern for people with diabetes but could also be dangerous to the health of non-diabetics. Some kinds of candy have been contaminated with an excessive amount of lead in it. Contamination claims have been made since shortly after industrial-scale candy factories began producing candy in the mid-19th century, although these early claims were rarely true. Hard, round candies are a leading cause of choking deaths in children. Some types of candy, such as lychee mini fruity gels, have been associated with so many choking deaths that their import or manufacture is banned by some countries. Non-nutritive toy products such as chocolate eggs containing packaging with a toy inside are banned from sale in the US if the material attached to confectionery has a function and will not cause any injury to the consumer, it is allowed to be marketed. In the EU, however, the Toy Safety Directive 2009/48/EC specifies that food items only need separate packaging that cannot be swallowed. Global sales of candies were estimated to have been approximately $118 billion in 2012. In the United States, $2 is spent on chocolate for every $1 spent on non-chocolate candy. Because each culture varies in how it treats some foods, food may be considered candy in one place and a dessert in another. For example, in Western countries, baklava is served on a plate and eaten with a fork as a dessert, but in the Middle East, Northern Africa, and Eastern Europe, it is treated as a candy. Candy is the source of several cultural themes. Adults worry that other people will use candy to poison or entice children into harmful situations. Stranger danger warnings include telling children not to take candy from strangers for fear of the child being abducted. Poisoned candy myths persist in popular culture, especially around trick-or-treating at Halloween, despite the rarity of actual incidents. The phrase "taking candy from a baby" is a common simile and means that something is very easy to do. A 1959 Swedish dental health campaign encouraged people to reduce the risk of dental problems by limiting candy consumption to once a week. The slogan, "All the sweets you want, but only once a week," started a tradition of buying candy every Saturday, called Lördagsgodis, literally Saturday candy.